Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the fruits of sincerity. Over the previous weeks, we learned the following. Sincerity means to live this life according to the rules of Allah, that is to say, to obey His commands and to look for His reward only. And also to obey His commands for the sake of His pleasure and to look for the reward only from Allah. This is the meaning of sincerity. Sincerity also means pure intention for the sake of Allah. Okay? And if you have sincerity in your deeds, okay, this means that whenever you do any deed, first you have the intention, I am doing this deed for the sake of Allah, obeying the command of Allah, looking for the pleasure of Allah, and my reward is only from Allah. In all, regarding all your deeds in your life, okay, if you do so, this means that your deeds are accepted by Allah. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if I start a prayer without intention, for the sake of Allah, it will not be accepted. You must have the intention before the prayer, and the intention is in the heart, not on the tongue. Okay, so you just say inside your spirit, I am having this prayer for the sake of Allah. Okay, and you must say this, and this must be the truth. Okay, if you have this sincerity, inshallah, your prayer will be accepted. Okay, and all your acts of worship will be accepted. Number two, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we learned in the previous classes, that through your sincerity, the deeds can be your sincerity is your way for relief at the time of hardship. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that suppose that you are coming to the masjid for the sake of Allah. Okay. And you are doing this with full sincerity. And one day you have a big hardship in your life, whatever, you know, illness, loss of one whom you love. At that moment you can call on Allah. Oh Allah, I am calling you by my deeds, which is going to the masjid for your sake. I was going for years and years for your sake. These were acts of sincerity. I am calling you by my sincere deeds to make for me an outlet from my hardship, to put an end for the hardship. And inshallah, Allah will answer your call. So this sincerity will help you to have an end for your hardships. Okay? Number three, sincerity is the way to focus on your prayers, because if you have sincerity during your prayers, in verse number 5, you are saying, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Correct? When you say this sentence or this verse of the Quran with sincerity to Allah, inshallah, this means that you are focusing in your prayer. You know what you are saying. You are close to Allah, and this will help you to have sincerity during all your prayers, and this means that your prayers will be accepted. Prayers, salah in Islam, is the most important on the Day of Judgment. If your prayers are valid, okay, inshallah, all your deeds will be valid. Okay? Also, through the prayers, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, through sincerity you can turn all your habits to acts of worship. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that before you eat, okay, you have the intention that, oh Allah, I am eating the food so that I will have a strong body, so that I can worship you in the best shape. Okay? This means that it is not an habit now, eating will be an act of worship. Drinking will be an act of worship. Sleeping will be an act of worship. If you have the pure intention before any deed that you are doing this for the sake of Allah, so that you will have the strong body and the strong spirit to worship Allah, Allah will consider this for you as an act of worship. Okay? So all your life can be an act of worship. While you are cooking, you can have the intention that you are cooking so that you can eat, so that you can worship Allah. You know, even if when you took a bath, it is the same. It can be an act of worship. So sincerity can turn your life to acts of worship, which you will be rewarded for it on the day of judgment. This means sincerity is your way to paradise. A very easy way to paradise is to have this pure intention before every deed for the sake of Allah, and the reward is only from Allah. Okay? Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about sincerity and the fruits of sincerity. Sincerity is the way to have tranquility and inner peace, especially during hardships. We will read now from Surah number 9, verse number 40, to know about the importance of sincerity as a way to tranquility. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله
If you help him, for Allah did indeed help him, when the disbelievers drove him out the second of the two. When they were in the cave, he said to his companion, Be not sad, surely Allah is with us. Then Allah sent down his Sakinah upon him and strengthened him with forces which you saw not, and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowermost, while the word of Allah that became the uppermost, and Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Okay. Actually, this is a reference to the time when Prophet Muhammad's enemies in Mecca had lost their patience with him and with his message. They held their consultations and decided to assassinate him, to kill him. Okay? Allah informed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what they had plotted and instructed him to leave to Al-Madinah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, left Mecca alone except for his trusted companion Abu Bakr. They hid it in a cave to mislead their enemies, as several bands were following them in all directions. At one point, those enemies were so close to them that Abu Bakr said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, should any one of them look down where he is standing, he would surely see us. So actually, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr, his trusted companion, they were together inside the cave. Okay, and the people of Mecca were, when he escaped, you know, he put Abu Bakr, his cousin, in his bed, he put Ali in his bed, okay, so that they will be under the impression that he is still in bed, and he escaped with Abu Bakr, and actually they tried to mislead those whom they follow them, and they were hiding in a cave, but unfortunately the enemies of Prophet Muhammad, they were following him from all directions, and Abu Bakr looked down and he saw them. They were very close. So at that moment, Abu Bakr was so upset, and because of that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Abu Bakr was so upset, and he had no fear for himself, but he feared for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad had all the calmness of the inner peace bestowed on him by Allah. So he said to Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, what do you think of two men who have Allah on their side? Okay, don't be sad. This is actually a very, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, one verse of the Quran which is always repeated at the time of hardship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Do not be sad or afraid. Allah is with us. Okay? So how you can have this feeling during the hardship? This is the question. We are always panic. We are always worried. We are always upset. We are always sad and depressed during the hardships. We are never having this calmness and reassurance during the hardship. Okay? You can have this calmness and reassurance during the hardship through your sincerity to Allah the Almighty. When you have the link with Allah, Allah will shower you with this power, with this spiritual power. Don't worry. Be strong. Everything will be all right. I am around. I will be the one to take care. You are not alone. I am with both of you. And actually, sisters, nowadays, because of too much stress in our life, most of the people, their main problem is that they are always worried. Most of the time, they are worried. And they are upset, not in a good mood. They are not happy, and they are depressed. Okay, and you know how many people are under treatment for depression. Okay, so when you realize this problem in our life now, the problem of depression, sadness and worry, you highly appreciate being calm and having tranquility during the hardship. You highly appreciate it. And actually, I always believe that this is the medicine which every human being is in great need of, this tranquility and calmness of the inner peace during the hardships and during the difficult times. Why? Because the hypertension, the diabetes, and the cancer, the predisposing factor for all of this is worry, upset, depression and sadness. Now, the psychological factor is very important as a predisposing factor for illness and for deterioration. Okay? If you have two patients, one of them is having hope, okay, and the other one doesn't have hope, it is always the one who has hope who fights the illness in a more better way than the other one who is not interested in life. Okay? And also, the one who has the tranquility and the calmness. Okay? The tranquility and the calmness, sister, is related to the trust in Allah. I have trust in Allah. Because none can make anything. Who can save Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, while he is in the cave and the enemies were in front of the cave? None can save him except Allah, the Almighty. Okay? So, how can I be sure that I will be saved? I am not sure that I will be saved. None of us is sure that during the hardship I will be saved, the hardship will end in a good shape and tomorrow will be better. None of us is sure of this reality. But the true believer in Allah, the one who has sincerity, will have calmness. Calmness is related to acceptance and trust in Allah. Inshallah everything will be alright. How it will be alright, as I like or not, in a different way, in a different form, nobody knows. But inshallah, it will be all right. When you have this feeling that inshallah, everything will be all right, you are protecting your immune system. You are protecting all your organs from the effect of stress and worry and depression on your body. How I protect my body? Through this tranquility and calmness of my inner peace. I have trust in Allah. I am not worried. Everything will be all right. How? This is not my business. This is the business of Allah, the one who is controlling everything. So I am clarifying to you how sincerity is very important for every one of us nowadays, at least to help you to protect your body, okay, from the negative effect of the worry and upset and happiness which most of the people are suffering nowadays. When you look to the eyes of the people, most of the people nowadays, you don't see the hope, you don't see the calmness, you don't see the tranquility, you don't see the acceptance. No, most of the people are tired, upset, confused, not clear. They don't know what to do. Everything is not easy. Life becomes very difficult. There are no good people around. What can we do? They are always looking that they have problem, that is. So the question will be how to have this tranquility of the inner peace. It is through sincerity to Allah. We will read now from Surah number 48, verse number 4, to know more about tranquility and the inner peace. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما.
He is it who sent down a sakina into the hearts of the believers that they may grow more in faith along with their present faith. And to Allah belong the host of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise.
Actually, in this verse of the Quran, it is clear that only Allah is the one who can send down calmness and tranquility to the hearts of the believers. So if you have sincerity to Allah, Allah will support you with this calmness and tranquility during the time of hardship. They were in a very difficult time, okay, regarding verse number 4, the believers were facing a great hardship, and Allah the Almighty, out of His mercy, sent down the calmness and tranquility into their hearts. Okay, so life, again, sister, as I mentioned, is full of stress, distress, and tranquility and inner peace is very important for every one of us at the difficult time. Be sincere to Allah so that Allah will shower you with this tranquility to save you from all these illnesses and negative feelings. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about fruits of sincerity, and one of the fruits of the sincerity is love for the sake of Allah. I think you hear about this statement, love for the sake of Allah, and actually today we will learn about it because it is one of the fruits of sincerity and it has a lot of reward from Allah the Almighty in this life and in the hereafter. At the beginning, let us learn the definition and the types and the importance of love in Islam. Okay, love is one of the most special characteristics of man. It is the nourishment for the human hearts and spirits, as the food is the nourishment for the body. At the beginning, sisters, we must believe that every one of us is in great need of the feeling of love. Love means that you love those whom they are around you, and also they love you. Okay? This is a very important feeling for the spirit. Actually, this is the nourishment for the spirit. And actually, when I was a pediatrician, they always teach us that we must teach the mothers to show the love to their babies. They must hug their babies, they must kiss their babies, they must keep their babies close to them and give them the warmth of love, because this is very important for the normal growth of the spirit and the body of the baby. So the normal human being is in great need of love. And when there is no love in the life of the human being, this means that at that time, he is not alive. This is very important, actually, sisters, to have the love in your life. Love is a feeling of deep affection. Love is the essence of the human life. Love is the light, healing, support, mercy, forgiveness, encouragement, and compassion. Actually, what are the signs of love? Okay, now, suppose I tell you, for example, you, my sisters, I love you for the sake of Allah. Okay? Or I love you. Let us first. Or I say to my husband, I love you, my husband, for example. Okay? What are the meaning of the word I love you? Okay? This means, number one, sincere heart inclination. My heart is deviated towards that person or towards, you know, that place or towards that time. Number one, sincere heart inclination. Number two, preferring him to anyone else, to prefer that person or whatever, to prefer the one whom you love. Number three, to remember the lover all the time and to mention his name. Okay? He is always with you. Okay? To give up all of yourself for the sake of his pleasure. Okay? This is also one of the signs of love. So, when you feel that you love someone, you must feel this feeling, that your heart, you have sincere heart inclination, you are thinking of that person, you always remember, you mention his name or whatever, you mention him all the time, and you want him to be happy. His pleasure is very important. Okay? How? Through your care, your compassion, your mercy, your wealth, your effort, everything. You want to give everything, and your goal is to be sure that the one whom you love is pleased with you, is close to you, is happy with you. Okay, this is the meaning of love, basically. Okay, so you cannot say that you love someone and you always forget that one. For example, if I come and tell you, sisters, I love my husband too much, for example. Then you noted that over the last 6 months during my classes, I never mentioned my husband at all. This means that I don't love him. In reality. Yes, this is the reality. How? Because actually it took from me a lot of time to find the definition of love. Because love is emotions. Okay, but if love is only emotions? No. These emotions are based on your heart inclination, on your thinking in that person. All of this will be translated, to these emotions. Love and care and compassion and all of this. Okay. So actually, this is the love. Okay? So what are the types of love in Islam? Whom I am supposed to love in Islam? What is the meaning, whom I am supposed to love? Whom I am supposed to have sincere heart inclination to prefer to any other one, to remember all the time, to give up all of yourself for the sake of his pleasure? Number one is Allah the Almighty. Okay? So in Islam, the most important to love is number one, to love Allah the Almighty. This is the most important obligation, as it is the basis of Islam. We will read now from two verses of the Quran in order actually to know about love of Allah. Actually, I always mention Allah in most of my classes. So I will not talk a lot about love of Allah, because most of my classes are around love of Allah the Almighty. Just we will mention now two verses of the Quran which will remind us that when I love, I must love Allah, number one. We will read now from Surah number 27, from verse 59 to 64, why I must have Allah as number one to love in my life as a true believer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah number 27, from 59 to 64. قل الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الله خير أما يشركون أمن خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل لكم من السماء ماء فأنبتنا به حدائق ذات بهجة ما كان لكم أن تنبتوا شجرها أإله مع الله بل هم قوم يعدلون أمن جعل الأرض قرارا وجعل خلالها أنهارا وجعل لها رواسي وجعل بين البحرين حاجزا أإله مع الله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون أمن يهديكم في ظلمات البر والبحر ومن يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته أإله مع الله تعالى الله عما يشركون أمن يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ومن يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أإله مع الله قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين.
Say praise and thanks to Allah and peace be on His slaves whom He has chosen. Is Allah better or that you ascribe as partners? Is not He who created the heavens and the earth and sends down for you water from the sky, whereby we cause to grow wonderful gardens full of beauty and delight? It is not in your ability to cause the growth of their trees. Is there any ilah with Allah? Nay, but they are a people who ascribe equals. Is not He who has made the earth as a fixed abode and has placed rivers in its midst and has placed firm mountains therein and has set a barrier between the two seas? Is there any ilah with Allah? Nay, but most of them know not. Is He who responds to the distressed one when he calls on him and who removes the evil and makes you inheritors of the earth generations after generations? Is there any Allah with Allah? Little is that you remember. Is it not He who guides you in the darkness of the land and the sea and who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings going before His mercy? Is there any Allah with Allah? High exalted be Allah above all that they associate as partners. Is not He who originates creation and shall thereafter repeat it, and who provides for you from heaven and earth? Is there any Allah with Allah? Say, bring forth your proofs if you are truthful.
So actually, sister, this is the reality of our life. All the blessings in our life are from Allah the Almighty. So when I love, I must love the source of all the blessings in my life. This means that I must love Allah the Almighty. Actually, we will learn more about this fact. We will read in Surah number 16, verse number 54. But just before moving to verse number 16, I want you, regarding verse number 27, it is not He who responds to the distressed one when He calls on him. Actually, sister, in your relation with Allah the Almighty, you will become very close to Him when you always feel your need to Him at the time of distress. Okay, because when you have distress, when you have problem, when you have hardship, when you feel that you are alone and you don't have any power, you feel very helpless and you start to be depressed because you lose hope. How you can be out of this? Who can help me? None is ready to help. I am alone. I am lost. But at that moment, when you remember that Allah is the all power, Allah is the all will, is with you. He will support you. He will take care of you. And He will plan for you the best. At that moment, you can start to feel that I am not alone. I can face the hardship. I can continue my life. Still, there is hope. So this feeling is very important for any normal spirit. The feeling that I am never alone and I will be never alone. And I am not in need of the human being because the human beings, they don't have power or will. I am not in need of anyone. I am only in need of the one who has the power and the will. And I can call on him at any moment. I can reach him. Maybe I cannot reach the boss of my job who fired me yesterday. He will not answer the phone anymore after firing me. I cannot reach my husband after he decided to leave the home. I cannot reach my kids when they decided to live outside. But I can leave Allah. I can reach Allah. And Allah is the only one whom I in reality in need. Because Allah is the one who has the power and He has the will and He can give His command to all of these people to respond to me. So this is very important for the normal spirit to keep normal in this very difficult life. How can I continue my life, which is a test full of hardships, while I don't feel that I have someone whom I can call on, who can help me, whom I can reach at any time. Nowadays, you cannot reach anyone. If I am in need of help from one sister and I call her for the help, she may look to the caller ID and she will not answer me. And this is always happening if she knows that you are calling her for a request. Mostly, she will not answer, yes. And if you have a problem with any human being and he decided to forget about you, how you make him to remember you again or to help you again or to come to your life again? You will not be able at all. Human beings nowadays, or maybe they were always like this, okay? Life is not easy with the human beings. To be in need for the human beings is a very difficult feeling, because actually, mostly they don't have mercy in their hearts. Mercy, the real mercy in the hearts, to feel other people, to help them, to give them a hand when they are in need. This kind of attitude is very difficult to find nowadays. But when I have Allah and I believe that He is the power and the will, this belief in Allah is the only way for me to escape depression during this time of hardship and need of the people. Okay? How I will escape the depression? I will escape it through my prayers. I will call on Him, "Oh Allah, I have you, and you are the only power and the will. And you promise to help me because I am a sincere believer. I am sure you will not leave me alone. I am looking forward for your help. I am waiting for your help." Then the second prayer will come. The third prayer will come. Time will pass while you are still in the hardship, but you are holding the hope in Allah. You have the link with Him until, inshallah, the time will come when Allah will decide, not my husband to come back, or my kids to take care of me, or my boss to give me another chance to work. No. When Allah, the Almighty, the one who decides for everything, planned for me that the end of the hardship is at that second. And when you reach that second, you will be more closer to Him. Because through your link with Him, 3 months has passed, but I'm still in a good shape. I'm still praying. I'm still a good human being. My heart is not full of hatred or envy to all those people whom they are around me and they never give me a hand. They never have my feeling. They never support me. No, no, no. All praise to Allah. My hardship ended and I am more closer to Allah, and my heart is still clean towards everyone around me because I believe that they don't have power or will. So I was not in need of them, in spite of the fact that I know that they will never help me. But still, my heart is clean. This is the importance of the belief and love of Allah. This is how I am clarifying to you why I must love Allah the most priority. Because through the love of Allah, you will keep your heart clean all the time. You will keep your relation very good with everyone. When my husband will come back after 3 months, I will not start questioning him. Why you didn't call? Why you didn't come? Why you didn't try? I will never. Because he didn't do anything. Allah, the Almighty, who did for me everything. I will be very good with him. Because I know that the command for him to return was the decision of Allah. So I will not fight with any human being. I will not be upset with anyone. I will not try to say, "I was looking forward for you to call me." I was. No, I am not looking forward for anything from any human being because I have Allah. I love Allah. I pray in Allah. I reach Allah all the time. And Allah was taking care of me through these 3 months. When my kids will come back and tell me, "You're still in a good shape. We left you. We didn't call you. But you look in a very good shape." I tell them, "Yes, because I have Allah with me. I love Him. He takes care of me." And time passed and I am in a more better shape now because I have more trust in Allah. When I have the second hardship, it will be more easy for me because I experienced the first one and I live the reality, or I believe, or my belief becomes a reality. I am only in need of Allah in this worldly life. My kids, I am not upset that you left me without even an email. Come home, let us live a very happy life. You cannot have this feeling and this heart, sisters, except when you love Allah and you believe that He is the only one who is taking care of you, and you alone, we worship you alone, we ask for Him. Okay? This is how you love Allah. Now we will read again from Surah number 16, verse number 53. Regarding why I must love Allah and have Him the most important, highest priority for me to love is the love of Allah. Bismillah, Surah number 16, verse number 53. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فَإِلَيْهِ تَجْأَرُونَ.
And whatever of blessings and good things you have, it is from Allah. Then when harm touches you, unto Him you cry aloud for help.
You see, sister, this is the worldly life. Blessings and hardship. Who is the source of the blessings? Allah the Almighty. I am very thankful. I love you. Who is the one who can put an end for my hardship? The one whom I can call on during the hardship? Allah. Oh Allah, I am very thankful. I love you. Okay? So this is how I love Allah. It is actually a great blessing from Allah to make me to love Him. Because when I love Him, my heart will be close to Him. I will always remember Him. And Allah said in the Quran, when you remember me, tranquility will be with you all the time. So long I have Allah in my spirit, I have tranquility and calmness. He will take care of everything. Allah the Most Gracious says in a divine hadith, my servant persists on seeking my nearness through acts of worship until I love him. When I love him, I become as it were his ear, by which he hears, his sight, by which he sees, his hand, by which he strikes, and his leg, by which he walks. If he asks me, I shall give him, and if he seeks my refuge, I shall give him my refuge. I will explain to you the meaning of this hadith, sisters, because this is actually the divine hadith, is a hadith which Prophet Muhammad is saying, but it is revealed to him from Allah. It is not a Quran, but it is called the divine ahadith. Okay? Let us know the meaning, because this is the most important. Allah the Almighty is clarifying that when you try your best to have sincerity, to become close to Allah, through your whole life, as we mentioned, your life can be an act of worship with your sincerity. When I eat, I am eating so that I have the power and I want to worship Allah. When I visit a friend whom she is sick, I am visiting her because Allah commanded me. When I am silent, when my husband is, not in a good mood, because Allah commanded me to be silent and to be patient. I am all the time, this is the kind of servant whom he is mentioned in this hadith, trying all the time to become near to Allah through obeying the command of Allah. That servant will be loved by Allah. You keep on. Why? Because that servant is trying to please Allah by all the means. So Allah will love that person. When Allah will love that believer or that Muslim, Allah will become, what is the meaning of his ear, which he hears by? That person will only be interested in what Allah likes him to hear by his ear. So if I come to a place where people are fighting and, saying bad words or whatever, I will leave immediately, because my ear cannot listen to this. Allah protected my ears. Okay, I am only directed to what Allah likes. Then my sight, when someone will open, the television and it is a bad movie, okay, immediately I will leave the place. Immediately. Automatically. Why? Because now my sight cannot see except what Allah likes. Because Allah loves me and Allah protects my sight. Also my hand, also my leg. If I wake up in the morning and I have two options, either to come to the Madgid or I have a morning coffee where there is a lot of bad biting and good food, okay? Good food, very important.
Good
choices. Okay, immediately I will, without thinking, I will find myself driving to the direction of the Madgid. Why? Because Allah is protecting me. Why now Allah is protecting you, sister? Because Allah loved you. This is the love, this is the reality of love. Allah is caring for you. Allah is protecting you. Allah is taking care of you. Okay? And if you ask Allah, Allah will give you. But again and again, sister, Allah will give you according to His wisdom. If I call on Allah, oh Allah, today I want my knee joints to become healthy without operations, no, this is not the rules of life. You have illness. Okay, Allah will not change the rules of life, you know, for you, because you are a sincere believer. No, Allah will make you, give you a delay in your illness. But you will not be cured, you will not be normal again. So that we will not be under the impression, if I am close to Allah, my life will be, you know, a sort of magic. No, this is wrong. Okay, there is no magic in Islam. Okay, but Allah, out of His mercy and knowledge, will delay the progress of the illness, will give me a good pain medication. Okay, Allah will help me. I am calling on Him. Oh Allah, I want to walk. He will help me to walk, semi-normal. Okay, alhamdulillah, this is very good. But to become normal again, no. This means that you don't know Allah. This means that you were close to Allah for the sake of the cure, not for His sake. I am close for His sake, from Him for His sake, but I am calling on Him to help me to live life, not to have everything in life. Again and again, I want to clarify to you, sister, this is the reality of sincerity. I am obeying Allah, I am trying to please Him, I am following all His rules for the sake of obeying Him and for the sake of pleasing Him. Not for the sake of, oh Allah, now I am a true believer, obeying Him, okay, I want mention in River Oaks, I want three Rolls Royce, yes, I am a true believer now. I'm a true believer. Again, sister, sincerity is a gift from Allah. The more Allah knows that you want to obey Him and you have the pure intention, the more He will help you through the gift of sincerity. Okay, and when you ask refuge, Allah will give you His refuge. So, after all of this, whom I am supposed to love number one in my life? If I have a mind to reflect, whom, sister?
Allah.
Allah. Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. Okay, so number one you must love is Allah the Almighty. Okay, let us read now one verse of the Quran which will clarify this fact. Surah number 9, verse number 24. This sister, do you know that all praise to Allah, while we are sitting like this, the angels are around us up to the heaven. All praise to Allah. You see, and they are mentioning to Allah our names. And they are mentioning to Allah that we have this circle, you know, to learn His knowledge. And you can't imagine what will be your reward from Allah the Almighty. We don't appreciate some events in our life, you know, the real appreciation. This hour, you know, every week is the best hour in the whole week. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Believe me, sister. Inshallah. Inshallah, we will meet together in the paradise. And at that time, inshallah, you will remember this meeting. Yes, alhamdulillah. The gift from Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we will read now Surah number 9, verse number 24. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين.
Say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision. And Allah guides not the people who are al-fasiqun.
Okay. So actually, sister, this is the proof that you must love Allah the most in this worldly life more than any other one in this life. Okay. After Allah the Almighty, we love Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is one of the most duties, important duties in Islam. Number two, immediately. Number one, for the true believer, whom you love, I love Allah the Almighty. Number two, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Faith is not complete until a person loves the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Then he loves himself and his Bismillah. Then he loved himself. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "None of you truly believes until I am beloved to him, then his child, his father, and all the people." Okay? So you must love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sisters, and actually you can feel this feeling of love towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, when you will learn how he suffered for the sake of the message of Islam. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, suffered all the forms of the very severe hardships and trials for the message of Islam. At least today we learn that he left his city Mecca escaping, hiding in a cave because the disbelievers were after him to kill him. And all the time when he migrated to Medina, he always looked to the direction of his city Mecca and he says, "Oh Mecca, I loved you, but if I was not commanded by Allah to leave you, I will never leave you." Okay? So he didn't live in his country or in his city. He didn't live with his people. He was an orphan, both sides, by the age of 6 months. Okay, his father died before his birth, and his mother died after his delivery. He was actually all the time raised by his uncle. His uncle was a disbeliever. After his uncle, at first he was raised by his grandfather, disbeliever, his uncle, disbeliever. All the people of his city were against him. They were treating him in a very bad way. He suffered all the forms of suffer for the sake of our message, Islam. And on the Day of Judgment, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will intercede for the true believers. You will love him for his struggling and for all the hardship he faced for the message of Islam. And you will love him more because he will stand on the Day of Judgment saying, my nation, my nation to paradise. Oh Allah, send them to paradise. More, more, more. You know, this is our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So we must love him more than ourselves, because he saved ourselves from the disbelief, and we must love him more than all our families. Love of Allah, love of Prophet Muhammad, and love of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, means to follow their commands, to follow the commands of Allah. If I say I love Allah the Almighty, then I am a liar, I am a hypocrite, I am a bad person, I am treating people with arrogance. You will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you don't love Allah. Because if you love Allah, Allah commanded us never to be liars or hypocrite or arrogant or, you know, having tough manners or bad manners or whatever. You are not, in reality, you don't love Allah. I don't think so. But to say I love Allah, this means that when you will become close to me, you will feel that I am obeying the commands of Allah and I am following the rules of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The next love, sisters, is the love, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for the sake of Allah. What is the meaning of the love for the sake of Allah? The meaning of love for the sake of Allah, sisters, is that you don't love a person for any worldly reason. You just love the person for his sincerity to Allah. Okay? this, his obedience to Allah and his good deeds. This is the definition of love for the sake of Allah, because most of the Muslims are not clear with this meaning. You know, most of the Muslims are under the impression that if I am a Muslim, I love all the Muslims for the sake of Allah. No, this is not the love for the sake of Allah. Okay? I treat all the Muslims in the best shape because Allah commanded me to treat them. Okay? My life is an act of worship with everyone. For example, if I have a neighbor, she is a Muslim, but she is not obeying Allah in anything. Okay? She is a Muslim by name. Okay? I am commanded by Allah to treat her and to in the best way and to give her all the rights of the neighbor. Because in Islam, the neighbor has a lot of rights. I must give her all the rights. In spite of the fact she's not following any rules as a Muslim, yes. This is her right. She is a trust. I will treat her as a trust. Okay? But I have another neighbor on the other side. She is also a Muslim, but she is obeying Allah and she has sincerity. So when I love, I will love the second one. But regarding the first one, I am treating her in the best shape. But I can't have heart inclination towards someone whom she is not obeying Allah. Why? Because I love Allah. And when I love, I will love someone who loves Allah. Okay? This is the meaning of the love for the sake of Allah. Okay? You must treat all the people in your life as a trust. For example, if my husband is my husband, so he is a trust. I must treat him in the best shape. I must obey him. I must be honest with him. I must fulfill all his rights. But maybe I will not be able to love him for the sake of Allah. You tell me why, Sister Mona? I tell you because he is not sincere with Allah. He doesn't care for the rules of Islam. For example, regarding my kids, they are my kids, okay? So they are a trust. But the word love, which we have its meaning, heart inclination, to give all yourself, to look for that person to be pleased with you, okay? This is only for those whom they have sincerity for Allah. When you are sincere to Allah, you will love those whom they have sincerity to Allah. Okay? So this is the meaning of the love for the sake of Allah. For two persons to have love for the sake of Allah, both of them must be trying to obey Allah. Love of Allah cannot be between one who is obeying Allah and one who is not obeying Allah. Love of Allah cannot be between these two, because Allah must be in between them. Okay, I will clarify to you this, sisters, because regarding the love of the sake of Allah, when you love that person, you don't love that person for his position or wealth or background or being a Muslim or a neighbor. You love that person for the sake of Allah because of his sincerity towards Allah in his heart. You love the heart of that person. Okay, this is the meaning of the love for the sake of Allah. You love the heart of that person. You love that sincere heart. Okay, this is actually the love which is after the love of Allah, number one, love of Prophet Muhammad, number two, number three, I love for the sake of Allah. Number four, you can love for the sake of romantics. I love my husband. I can love my kids because they are my kids. I can love anyone, you know, but for love for the sake of Allah, which is the highest after the love of Allah and His Prophet, must be for those whom they have sincerity to Allah. Okay? And actually, sisters, when you love for the sake of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you will have a lot of blessings, which you can't imagine. Why? Because when you will love someone who is sincere for Allah, when you are sincere regarding Allah, sister, this means that you fear Allah. So, if I love my neighbor whom she has sincerity towards Allah, and that neighbor, we were, you know, very close in our socio-economic class. My husband and her husband were working in the same company, and they have the same job. But one day, they became very rich. Okay. One of her parents died and she became very rich. And she changed the house, the car, and everything. And I feel now that there is a gap between me and this sincere neighbor whom I loved her before for the sake of Allah. If my love for her is for the sake of Allah, this will not make for me any difference. I will be more happy for her because she is pleased. She is more happy now, I am also happy. You will ask me, Sister Mona, I don't feel jealousy or envy. I tell you, never. Because I never love her house or her position or anything. I only love her sincerity. And her sincerity is the same. I have a link with her sincerity. If she becomes very rich, if she becomes very poor, if she is very close to me, if she will live in another state, I will still love the sincerity in her heart. This is the cause of the link between me and that sister. This is the love for the sake of Allah, sisters. And the love of the sake of Allah is highly rewarded by Allah the Almighty. Why it is highly rewarded by Allah the Almighty? Because Allah wants us to love each other for His sake. When you come to the class having the intention that you want to learn the Quran, I love you, sisters, for the sake of Allah. If I meet you outside and I meet other Muslim sisters, okay, whom I don't know them closely, I will rush to hug you. Because these are my sisters whom I love for the sake of Allah. We come to the masjid to learn the Quran and we leave to the masjid after learning the Quran. We are meeting with both all of us together to learn about Allah. And then we leave. I don't know her job. I don't know where she lives. I don't know her full name. But I know her heart. Her heart is looking for the knowledge of Allah. So I love her for her heart. She's very close to me. That sister is very close to me. Then the Arabic sister will tell me, but they are not Arabs. They are from different background. How you are very close to them? And believe me, sister, this is the love for the sake of Allah. I tell them because they love Allah. They are revered sisters. They come to Islam, they choose Islam, and they are trying their best to learn the Quran and to learn the meaning. These are the best hearts over the earth. I love them very much. They are better than me, maybe, because they have double reward. Maybe they will take me to their rank in the paradise. When you love someone for the sake of Allah and he is higher than you in the rank in the paradise, he will take you with him in the higher rank in the paradise. In spite of the fact maybe the gap was too big between us. I will tell you a lot about, you know, the blessings of the love for the sake of Allah in the hereafter, but also in the worldly life. The only one who will answer your phone when you are in hardship is the one who loves you for the sake of Allah. This is the reality, sister. The one who will give you the hand, in spite of the fact maybe this is all what I have, is the one who loves you in the for the sake of Allah. But you must also be loving the same for the sake of Allah, and you must be a sincere sister towards Allah the Almighty, because Allah is the one between both of you. Allah, now we will learn a real example of the love for the sake of Allah from Surah number 59, verse number 8 and 9, and we will continue inshallah next week. Why you crying? A love for the Allah a lot in our life.
Because people think they are sincere, but they really hold back because there's something in the world that they want.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. We can say we are sincere, but the most important is to prove it, you know, when you need that sincerity. الله الرحمن الرحيم للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون.
For the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their properties, seeking bounties, Allah, and to please Him, and helping Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such are indeed the truthful. And for those who before them had homes and had adopted the faith, love those who immigrate to them, and have no jealousy in their breast for that which they have been given, for that which they have been given, and give them preference over themselves, even though they were in need of that. And whosoever is saved from his own covetousness, such are they who will be the successful.
Okay, I will give you the meaning now. Actually, this is the reality of the love for the sake of Allah. Those are the people of Al-Madinah to which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers in Mecca migrated. They were very happy to have this immigrant to live with them. They really loved them in spite of the fact that the immigrants were mostly poor and slaves. But it is the sincerity in the hearts which linked the hearts of those believers. So they shared their homes with the loved immigrant. They even gave preference to them over themselves as they try to offer them the best of all they have. Actually, this is the reality which happened at that time, which is never repeated in the history. The people of Al-Madinah, the city which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, decided to migrate to, those people were very happy to have Prophet Muhammad and his followers to escape the hardship in Mecca and to move to Al-Madinah. When they moved to Al-Madinah, they left everything in Mecca, because all of them, they left Mecca escaping. So they didn't have anything with them. They just have their pure belief in their hearts with them. Accordingly, the people of Al-Madinah, they decided to have all these people to live with them, and everyone was trying to have one of these immigrants to share with him his home and his money and his wife. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, said, "Don't share your wife." So it was their homes. They ask them, they invite them to their homes, they give them the money, and they supported them 100%, and they called them, they called them their brothers. This is the brotherhood in Islam. It started between the people of Medina and the people of Mecca. And after immigration, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was always preferring the immigrant over those of Al-Madinah, because the immigrants were poor and they left everything behind. In spite of this preference, the people of Al-Madinah, they were never feeling envy or jealous regarding the immigrants. Rather, they tried to help them more, because sister, the worldly life was out of the equation. The equation was hearts full of sincerity for the sake of Allah. They highly appreciate those immigrants, because they left everything for the sake of Allah. And because of this high appreciation of this sincerity, they were actually preferring them over themselves. And this is the reality of the love for the sake of Allah. And actually, in my life, Allah the Almighty sent for me a sister. Actually, I was at that time at the age of around 35. I was actually moving from one city to another city. We were living at that time in the Gulf area, and we were moving from one city to another city. And when we arrived to the new city, I don't know anyone at that time. So my sisters in the old city, they requested me to try to knock on the closest neighbor. They told me, try to know your neighbors in the new city and inshallah they will be good sisters for you. So I followed the request or, you know, the advice, and I knocked on my, we were in a building, you know, I was in apartment. So I knocked on the next apartment, and actually the sister or, you know, in that apartment. So actually that sister in the, that neighbor, she refused to open the door. She told me, no, I don't know you. I will not open the door. So I was very embarrassed. I said, this is my mistake. While I was returning to my apartment, the elevator opened. This is the area. And an old woman came out. So, you know, she looked to me. She told me, you are from Egypt? I told her, yes. She told me, why you are, you were visiting that sister? I told her, no, that sister refused to open the door for me. She told me, why? She refused. Okay, what's your name? I told her, my name is Mona. She told me, okay, just a minute. She knocked on her, and she told her, open. Her name was Pisa. I am Pisa. She knows her. She told her, okay, when she opened, she told her, why you didn't allow Mona to come in? She told her, I don't know her. She is a new neighbor, and I don't like to meet the new people, okay? So I told her, okay, no problem. You see, but you will see what will happen after. So she invited us in, and then the old woman, she told me, how old are you? I told her, I'm 35, and I told her my story. I was working then. I stayed at home to take care of my kids. You know, I just finished my, neonatology board, but I never work because, you know, my husband insisted that I must stay to take care of my kids. She told me, you know, I am 74. And I was around 34. She told me, but you know, I have a feeling towards you. I feel that you will be a very good Muslimah. Believe me, sisters, you know, may Allah shower her with His mercy. She is dead now. You know, this was the, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, around, I will tell you exactly, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was around 22 years ago. You see, she told me, okay, now what are you doing? I told her, I am at home taking care of my kids, but I have a lot of free time because I was working and studying all the time. She told me, okay, I want you to memorize the whole Quran. I told her, but this will be very difficult for me. How I memorize the whole Quran? She told me, no, you are the one. I told her, why you want me to memorize the whole Quran? She told me, you know, now I am 74, for example. Up to the age of 60, I was not following the right path, except, you know, I was just praying in time. I was not having a headscarf. I never read the Quran. I was, a principal of a school, and I was busy all the time. At the age of 60, while I was the principal, I have one teacher whom she all the time moved holding the Quran in her hand. So she called her and told her, why you are having the Quran all the time? She told her, I love the Quran. Then that young teacher, she asked the old woman, the principal, are you reciting the Quran every day? She told her, no, I am not reciting the Quran every month. She told her, no, you will be punished. I want you to start reciting the Quran every day. Since that time, age of 60, up to the age of 74, okay, I am calling her Mama Nfif, Mama, okay? She recited the Quran 500 times. She was reciting the Quran every week, the whole Quran. Can you imagine? You see how Allah changed her, and she memorized the two big chapters of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. Okay? And since then, she is reciting the whole Quran every week. Since then. Okay? So she told me, you know, Mona, I feel that you will be the one to memorize the Quran. I cannot memorize it. You will memorize it. You are young. I told her, you know, but I just met her 5 minutes ago on the elevator. You see? I told her, but how I will do this? She told me, I am visiting my son. She was just coming to visit her son. Her son was a dentist living in the next apartment. So she was just visiting him for 2 months. She told me, from today, I will come to your apartment. I will sit with you 1 hour. We will revise together 2 pages of the Quran. You will recite, try to memorize it at night. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I will come. You will memorize it with me, and you will read. I told her, why all of this effort? You are an old woman, 74 years old, and you are just coming to visit your son for shopping. She told me, no, no, Mona. This is my goal from my visit. And for the next 2 months, every day, she will come at 8 o'clock. She will sit with me. She will be sure that I memorize this one page of the Quran. And then she told me, Mona, are you praying at night? I told her, no, in reality I'm not. She told me, no, no, Mona, I want you to pray at night. I told her, I am busy with my kids. It is difficult for me. She told me, no, I am 74 and I am praying at night 1 hour per night. I told her, 1 hour just praying at night? She told me, yes. And you know, Mona, I am living above you. I will look to the light in your apartment. It will be on every day at 4 a.m. or not. I don't know. You will be sure that I put the light on. She told me, yes, Mona, you must start praying at night, reviving the Quran at night. Told her, okay. So I started. You see, this is, you know, I will show you, this is the love for the sake of Allah. Why she's doing all of this? Then she told me, Mona, now, after you will pray at night and you will start to memorize the Quran, I want you to be the best wife. I want you to be the best mother. I told her, what is the meaning of this? She told me, I noticed that you are not happy because you left the work. No, Mona, this is wrong. I worked up to the age of 60. And what I gained out of too much work? Nothing. Allah loves you. I was a little bit depressed, you know, because after all of this studying, I am at home and I don't have anything in my life except studying. She told me, no, 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 I will teach you how to sew, how to cook, how to take care of everything, how to be happy. You know, I was so thankful to Allah, and I can't imagine what is happening in my life. After 2 months, she left, you know, because her visa, she will have a visiting visa, she left. But she kept on calling me every week, you know, to check about how I am doing with my husband, how I am doing with my kids, what about my cooking? Yes, and you can't imagine, yes, how I am doing with my Quran. What is the Quran? How is the memorization? How I am revising? And my relation with her was for 15 years. You know, if she cannot reach me by phone, she will send for me. At that time, it was letters. She would send for me letters. My dearest Mona, I love you for the sake of Allah. You see, and actually, when she moved to Egypt, whenever I will visit Egypt, before visiting my home, I will visit her from the airport to her house, you know. And my husband was so surprised. She was telling me, you are 34 and she is 74 and she is your closest friend, you know, for the fun. You know, this is how your spirit is the spirit of a 74 year old woman. So I told him, no, Muhammad, this is the gift of Allah, the best time of my life. All the care, the compassion, the support, psychological support, I have it from, you know, Mama Fisa. And all the time she was telling me, Mona, remember, we will be, you know, inshallah, in the shade of Allah on the day of judgment. I want you to love me, and I love you for the sake of Allah, you know, because as we will learn next class, inshallah, when you love the sincere believers for the sake of Allah, inshallah, you will be on his shade. She told me, Mona, if I die at any time, don't forget the Quran. Don't forget to be the best mother, the best wife. I want you to be sincere until we meet in the paradise. And actually, this visit and this person was the turn point in my life. Since then, I have started to have the relation with the Quran, the relation with the Islam, and actually, alhamdulillah, I memorized the whole Quran alone, without any sheikh, without any professor, without anyone. You know, she told me, memorize day and night. Pray at night, day and night. During my prayers at night, I start to memorize the Quran until I came to America. And when I arrived to America, I felt that this is the big trial in my life. How I will live in America? I am just living with the Quran. Immediately, after the second day in Iowa City, I went to the mosque. You know, if I didn't meet Mama Fisa, I will never have the Quran. I will never go to the mosque. I will never call to Allah. I will never have the website, all praise to Allah. I will never be changed as a human being. At that time, I did Hajj. And I was having a headscarf. And I was praying my five prayers. But I don't have the love for the sake of Allah. I learned the love for the sake of Allah from Mama Fisa. And actually, I am trying to play the same role now, you know, during my classes. You know, to love the sisters for the sake of Allah. To love those whom they are trying to become close to Allah. And to support and, you know, to encourage and to give the hope. You know, and because of that, all my classes are related to hope, love, believe in Allah. You know, this is the core of my classes because this is the most important for any human being, is to feel that there are people around me whom they care for me, whom they have compassion for me, whom they are willing to help me for the sake of Allah. And if they are not around, Allah is there. You know, this is the most important, to feel that Allah, the Almighty, is there. I am never alone. Because, you know, sisters, hope is the most important medicine for every human being nowadays. And according to these facts, inshallah, I will have some changes in the plan of the classes. Inshallah, I will mention it to you next week after we will finish about the love for the sake of Allah. I will have a change in the niche, in the plan of my classes, and I will tell you the reason next week, inshallah. But we'll keep on meeting every Monday, but I will not continue your journey to eternity, inshallah. We'll have something, maybe it will be more beneficial, inshallah. Let us make bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection. Amen.